Depending on when you're listening to this podcast, it's now a matter of hours, maybe even minutes, until the biggest game of Ireland's World Cup campaign so far. Let's face it, it's the biggest game in years. A win or lose qualifier in Prague against Czechia, 16 places above the Republic of Ireland in the football rankings. But what do those final days and minutes actually feel like inside the dressing room? How do you get a group of players mentally ready? And are there ways to actually build that winning mentality? It's News Talk Daily. I'm Ciara Doherty. By now, there is no more training to do. What matters in these final hours and minutes for the 11 men who will line out in the Green of Ireland at the Fortuna Arena tonight is the mind. Staying calm, maintaining focus, blocking out the noise. And there must be so much noise coming at Captain Seamus Coleman and his men right now. Family messaging you, old coaches calling to tell you what to do, and maybe even the travelling fans. In fact, definitely the travelling fans shouting their 2 cents worth on the streets of Prague. The best teams shut all of that out. Preparation, we're told, is everything, and that's what Heimer is getting his lads to do. So how do you go about shaping the mind of an elite sports athlete? How do you make them want to and know that they can actually become winners? Well, I'm delighted to be joined in the News Talk Daily studio today by Enda McNulty, performance coach, author and founder of McNulty Performance. Enda, you're very welcome to the podcast.
It's a pleasure to be here. I'm actually nervous in anticipation. I think the nation holds its breath. This is going to be the most anticipated moment in Irish sport for almost a quarter of a century. Literally, we're all holding our breaths. We're nervous. The fans are nervous. The families are nervous. Of course, the players will be nervous. The coaches will be nervous. The backroom staff will be nervous. Everybody will be holding their breath.
You say nervous. I actually genuinely feel sick. Like, it makes my heart beat a little bit faster. I have mild nausea and anxiety for the last 24 hours. And I think I'm going to be looking at the clock all day long. I mean, how are the team feeling, do you think, right now?
You mentioned sick here. I've been in change rooms where you actually hear people being sick in the toilets, in the bathrooms. I've been in change rooms and seen players being sick on the floor before a big game, World Cup game, or a game they've played on in Croke Park in front of 85,000 people. So actually being sick is actually a normal thing, believe it or not. I've seen witness people being really almost violently sick in the change rooms and going out and having a man of the match performance. I've seen world leading players at halftime and hearing them in the bathroom as being sick and seeing them producing a player of the game performance. So that's normal. What isn't so normal is knowing how to handle that. Knowing how to handle the nerves. As you know, before you walk in the studio, nerves are normal. Feeling anxious is normal. Feeling that literally your legs are trembling. I've been out on the pitch myself and your legs tremble so much you feel, I've got no more control in my legs. I've got no more power in my legs. That's actually normal.
Is that adrenaline?
Yes. It's like a cocktail of emotions, a cocktail of hormones. Yes, it's part adrenaline. It's part, obviously, of the inspiration of the moment. So it's a cocktail of emotions. It's a cocktail of, obviously, the hormones hitting your body. But it's also preparing your body for fight rather than flight. That's what the great performers do. They turn it around, these nerves, these emotions, and get ready for the best performance, hopefully, of their careers.
Are there some players who walk out tonight, do you think, who don't feel like that? Who just go to that utter confidence place?
Well, are some players more relaxed under significant pressure? Yes. Are some players hyper, almost hyper on the bus on the way into the games? You see some of the players and they're hyper. They've got their headphones on and literally they're playing Jay-Z, they're playing rap music. Other players are listening to very mellow, relaxed music. And that's almost a mirror of what's going on in their minds and their brains. Some players are telling jokes on the bus on the way in. Some players are really, really nervous, just almost in their zone already. So everybody, as you would know, in this performance world, it's all performance. Everybody prepares differently. Everybody mentally and emotionally is in a different state, at different stages. Now, the real trick is 5 minutes before the game, 60 seconds before the game, and then when the whistle goes, can you switch into it immediately? The scale of difficulty for that in the big, big games is really challenging. Now, this Ireland team are doing a good job, obviously, over the last 4 or 5 games.
I have been absolutely fascinated, honestly, with this subject, right? With this idea of creating a winning mindset, of teams now working with sports psychologists on getting their head into the right place. Ever since I spoke to Dr. Bob Rotella, who works in the field of golf, actually. And I remember interviewing him back in 2007 when he helped Padraig Harrington win the Open Championship. Right. And he spoke about the work that he did with Padraig Harrington, getting him to visualize every single ball landing in the hole, the putt, getting it every single time, getting him to visualize lifting the winning cup and seeing all your teammates cheer you on because you have been the winner. Right. That was back in 2007. And I think back then, there wasn't maybe a huge amount of understanding. I don't think it was as widespread as it is now, that the mind has to be as healthy as the body.
It's now mainstream. In any professional environment, not to have your mental preparation considered, covered and trained now, it's almost unacceptable. Whereas whenever I was doing psychology in Queen's University back in the day, I think the guy at the stage who was our lecturer in Queen's, a guy called John Kramer, he asked 250 psychology undergrads, how many of you want to work in professional applied sport? I think I was the only person in the room to put my hand up. Everybody else wanted to have a child psychology, criminal psychology, educational psychology, so on. So I knew I wanted to work in applied, let's say practical psychology, particularly in the performance world. In Ireland, we've got a lot of people like Bob Rotella who've made a big difference in the field. Some females have made a significant impact there. I'll give you an example. A lady called Felicity Heathcote worked with Irish gold medal winning athletes way back in the Barcelona Olympics. I think she actually worked with Michael Carew. Brilliant lady. So a big call out to her. A guy called Aidan Moran was Ireland's version of Bob Rotella. John Kramer similarly. So Ireland actually has a very good track record of brilliant performance psychologists who have done brilliant work 30 years ago, 20 years ago, 15 years ago and so on.
They're way ahead of their time.
Way ahead of their time. Now for the next, I suppose, for the next generation of athlete, that's now brought in when you're 16 years of age, thankfully, Ciara. It's now brought in when you're 18 years of age in camp. Let's say you're an Ireland women's rugby team, you'd be working with a sports psychologist right from day one.
And you see it actually moving now, not just the sports psychologist within the team or the performance coach within the team talking this. You hear the managers talking this talk. I mean, I've emceed loads of summits over the last couple of years and they bring in people like Brian Cody, yourself, Jim Gavin, my own Jim McGuinness, he's not my Jim McGuinness, but you know what I mean, Donegal's Jim McGuinness. And they talk so much about creating winning cultures, about getting the mind to focus on achieving, committing, believing that you can be the winner. In terms of how Heimer has done it, he seems to prepare his players by managing their enthusiasm. He knows that they're up for it. So what he wants to do is manage their lives and patterns around that. How does that approach fit with what's going on in a player's mind and a player's game, do you think?
He seems very process orientated. I love the way he manages the environment. Seems very much in control, very cool, very calculated. I really admire, let's say, the attention, the detail. So he's excellent at that. The best coaches are able to get the best performances at the best time. He's done a hell of a job in the last 4 or 5 games. Let's be honest, he's going to have to do it in the next 24 hours. Now, how does he do it? Control the controllable. Sounds the most boring thing in sport or performance, but it's fundamental. Forget about the noise. There'll be a huge amount of noise and hype about this game, of course. The best coaches, the best managers, lock all that out. I'll give you 3 or 4 little examples. On match day, no newspapers around the team room. On match day, the best players, all social media apps are off their mobile phones. I know this because I've worked with 2 of the Irish footballers over the last 10, 15 years, 2 of the best of them. And I've actually been in Ireland, let's say, a team environment, team hotels and so on. Even under Trapattoni, believe it or not, when he was there, I was in the team hotel and he looked at me as if I was a third-class citizen because he didn't want anybody near the team environment. So the best coaches and management teams, they lock all that out. I know that from being in Ireland rugby camp for 7 years, on match day, it's like a cocoon. No distractions, no newspapers, no thoughts of what's been said here on News Talk Daily. no thought of any distraction whatsoever other than the players having fun. So, Ciara, earlier on you mentioned about what happens the last 24 hours before a big game. The answer is actually very little. You're relaxing. You're locked and loaded mentally, physically, technically, tactically, because it's not only the mental game, it's the mental game with the tactical game, with the physical game, recharging all batteries. So now the players are recharging. It's almost like recharging your mobile phone for our listeners. Recharging all the batteries. Now the players are informally, of course, sitting and having coffees, talking about scenarios. But in those scenarios, that would be at most 15, 20% of their chat. The rest of the chat's relaxing. We'd actually encourage the players to have a magazine that's got nothing to do with sports. So, for example, it could be about films, could be fashion, could be something to do with cars. And the book, the players normally say to us, should I read a book about, let's say, Michael Jordan and his winning mentality? Should I read Bob Rotella? No. Don't read Bob Rotella. Sorry for mentioning that. Don't. And I tell you why, I was on an Armagh bus, in the back of the bus, Ciara, going into a big game here at Croke Park too many years ago. And I was reading Bob Rotella. And we're heading in maybe an Ireland semi-final or something. And a guy called Andy McCann was the boss, really cool guy. And Andy McCann said to me, and what's with the book? What are you reading? I was reading Bob Rotella's book about confidence. He says, and a brilliant book, but wrong time to read it. He was right. Because the time to read a book like that is in the off-season. The time to read a book like that is 6 weeks before a big game. So for a big game, the phrase I'll use is, you're locked and loaded. Used to say to some of the best Irish players, the computer's programmed 48 hours out. Relax, switch off. Sorry for...
I once did white collar boxing, right, for charity boxing match. I trained and I trained and trained. I was fit as a fiddle. I really got obsessed with it. And I was, I would say, the favourite to win the bout with this other girl. And just before I went on stage, I watched a Muhammad Ali fight. And I think I actually blew my own mind and I lost. I overprepped. I don't know, what did I do there?
Yeah, you were overly aroused, overly excited, overly intense, overly hyped.
And then I flopped.
Yeah.
Okay, so
that's called the inverted U hypothesis, believe it or not. So you can be overly psyched, overly stressed, or underly stressed, or underly prepared. So you're trying to be right in the middle. That's why it's called the zone of optimal function. Our listeners know what it's called, the zone. So you were slightly overly hyped, overly amped. I guess we can all relate to that. Michal, when he was chatting to me about preparation for this daily podcast, we were talking about those different examples. So I've made all those mistakes. That's how you know it, unfortunately. And I've worked with loads of athletes and performers all around the world, whether it's dancers, surgeons, obviously people in business all around the world and performers in sport who have either been way over the top hyped and amped or under the top.
You say when it comes to advising athletes, you customise according to the individual or the team, but you stick to the same principles. What are those principles?
So core principle number one is about the importance of, let's call it, deliberate focus practice. So rather than doing your mental preparation once, doing it considerably with repetition over and over again, like your physical fitness. So first principle is deliberate focus practice on your mental preparation, the same as your physical preparation. Second principle is overload. You need to challenge yourself mentally the same way as you would in the gym. Not much point in going to the gym and doing the same thing every day. You have to slowly but surely overload yourself mentally and emotionally so you're ready to perform to the best of your ability. Another one of the principles is integrate your mental preparation with your physical preparation. I'll give you an example. Working with female and male athletes, they'd say to me, how am I going to get time to fit this in? And I'd say, well, do you get a sports massage once or twice a week? And they said, yeah. Well, then it's a perfect time to do your visualization, perfect time to do your affirmation, perfect time to do a little bit of, let's say, progressive muscular relaxation, because if you relax the body, you're relaxing the mind. So the core principles of mental preparation, we believe, should be integrated into all aspects of preparation. And the last little insight in that, in IMG, I spent some time there with the best, let's say, trainers in the world, the best athletes in the world, the best mental performance coaches in the world. And they had a concept of total preparation rather than just, obviously, just mental preparation. So in other words, your technical, your tactical, your physical, and then your lifestyle, your nutrition, your hydration, your rest, your recovery. So if we're partying in Ibiza a week before a big game, how the hell are we going to have a maximum performance? So it's getting all those aspects of preparation in harmony.
How do you deal with expectation? because I do think there is something about going in like they did in the last two games, particularly that game against Portugal as the underdogs, where, you know, you just didn't think they could do it. And I don't know about News Talk Daily listeners, but if somebody tells me that I can't do something, that is about as motivating a statement as I can hear. And I will do whatever it takes to try and prove that person wrong, right? That's my mindset. Now, if I go in with people expecting me to do it, my mindset completely changes. So is it better going in as the underdog or going in with the weight of expectation? And if you've won, like they have, spectacularly the last two games, how do you sustain that, particularly when there's been a break for 5 months?
Well, first of all, lots of recovery in between, lots of preparation, lots of mental preparation, lots of analysis, lots of on-game, on-pitch preparation. So interesting what you said there about his expectations. I think it's about focus. Where the athlete and where the team and where the coach is focused, the mind, energy is going to flow. So there's an old phrase that's really useful in that regard, where focus goes, energy flows. So what is the focus? The focus here is do your job, stick to the tactics, be relentless when we haven't got the ball, a bit like Jack used to say back in the day, put them under serious pressure. Now it's not put them under pressure anymore, it's put them under uber pressure. So it's a bit like what Klopp was doing with Liverpool. This Ireland team are doing a very good job when they haven't got the ball. So I'd say rather than focus on expectations, focus on the job, focus on the game, focus on the performance. Don't focus on the outcome. Don't focus on history. That's our job as fans. They get all excited and anxious and hyped up and into bars and hopefully in our homes and kids wearing the Irish jersey, which is just an inspiration for all of us. Little girls, little boys wearing the Ireland colours. You see them coming to the city today here in Dublin. For the players, that's irrelevant. For the players, it's what's their job? What's their role? Be really, really chilled out.
But do you visualise, because you talked about visualisation there, do you visualise winning?
Do you visualise winning? We would almost say visualise yourself performing well. Visualise yourself in the zone. Visualise yourself doing your task. Visualise yourself working hard relentlessly. Visualising your work ethic being extraordinary, but doing basic skills. And I learned this from Joe Schmidt. We had a mentor in working with Ireland for all those years and Leinster for all those years. We talked about basic excellence every time. Just do the basics. Let us write in the media or let us do lovely podcasts, you know, talking about how extraordinary the players were and what they did. But for the players, it's actually doing the ordinary skills extraordinarily well.
There is so much pressure going into this game. I think there's a particular extra pressure on somebody like Troy Parrott. How do you fight the human instinct to bottle it?
Human instinct? I don't think there is a human instinct to bottle it. I think if you're well conditioned and well prepared, you don't bottle it. Troy hasn't been bottling it, as you know, as you've mentioned earlier on, Ciara. In fact, he's been performing. I think pressure, and it sounds a bit, let's say, hackneyed to say, pressure's a privilege. Great performers relish pressure. Great performers, when they're nervous walking out of the tunnel, and you actually see the players doing that, rubbing their hands. You know this.
Bring it on.
Walk on stage. You can relate to that. Let's be honest, when you walk on stage and I walk on stage in front of 5,000 people, I am nervous. It is pressure. You feel pressure on your shoulder. But then, again, go back to focus. You focus, okay, what am I going to say in my first 60 seconds? What am I going to do in 60 seconds of the match? I'm going to pass the ball easy. I'm going to get a header. I'm going to get a knock on. I'm actually going to chase somebody down and get a tackle on. So pressure's a privilege. Then having the mental and emotional tools to handle pressure. That's the differentiator. And some of those tools are, so relaxed breathing in the changing room before you go out. In the match itself, keeping your body strong, keeping it tall. We used to talk about bringing that sense of bounce in your body. Another little tool is during the match when you make a mistake. Every player makes a mistake. Even Harrington made mistakes working with Rotella. It's getting really good at deleting the mistake. So a little mechanism that some of your listeners might be aware of. Some of the players would do something like that. They'd hit their thigh. And when they're hitting their thigh, it's a little trigger.
A reset.
So rather than thinking about, like, I made a mistake earlier on this interview. I don't know what I was saying. Michal was laughing at me through the window there. I made a mistake. I said female and lady in the same conversation. So it was a mistake. And for about 60 seconds afterwards, no matter what you were asking me, I was thinking about what a stupid thing to say. So a little reset here in studio. On the pitch is a reset.
Right. You're going to be hearing this right through News Talk Daily podcasts for the foreseeable future. I love this conversation because I don't believe this is just about sports psychology, right? I think the principles that we've talked about here, you can apply to every single aspect of your life, your private life and your professional life. Any job that you're doing, any business you're trying to run, I think if you approach it like this, you'll go really far.
Well, it's funny you say that, Ciara, because that is our business. Now, about 10% of what we do is actually working with elite performers in mental preparation, overall preparation. The rest is working with CEOs around the world, teams around the world, and multiple performance crucibles. What's interesting, that is, outside your mention about kids, we've got a wee fella, we're very lucky later in life, we've got one wee fella, Dallin, who's 2.5, and our youngest, Lewin, is 9 months old. So believe it or not, I'm teaching Dallin to breathe now. I'm teaching Dallin to manage his emotions now at 2.5. I'm teaching Dallin little resilience things now at 2.5. So I think we've got responsibility to give everybody the mental and emotional tools. Whether you're performing as a teacher in front of 30 kids, and that's a performance. Whether you're a lady that I've coached in the past who's a surgeon on babies' eyes. So is that not a pretty important challenge? Is that not a pretty important performance crucible? So I think it applies in all performance crucibles, not just elite sport.
Well, Andy McNulty, I actually feel a bit calmer after that 25-minute conversation. I really genuinely do. We have a great phrase in Donegal, pressure's for tyres. So any of the lads
listening
today, just remember that.
We'll see later on in the championship who accepts that pressure more.
Thanks so much for joining us here on News Talk Daily. Now we wait. It's over to the boys in green and 90 minutes or more of soccer in Prague. And if we do the business, we have the small matter of either Denmark or North Macedonia in Dublin next week. No pressure then. Pressure's for tyres. You can follow all the action and developments from our colleagues at Off the Ball at newstalk.com. And for now, from me, Ciara Doherty, goodbye. And come on, Ireland. Oh, come on, Ireland.